Hare Krishna. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramhamsa Prilvajakacharya Ashtotar Sati Sisi Maharaj Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramhamsa Prilvajakacharya Ashtotar Sati Sisi Maharaj Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnavindu Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Hairas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopna Shyama Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Swami Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Guru Pramanande Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled of the bodies, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled of the bodies, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled of the bodies, Hare Krishna. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Simati Bhakti. Nera Swami Nitinami. Namaste Krishna Padaya Prabhupada Stephanie Sri Guru Karu Shakti Bhakti. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayana Namaskritya Narum Chaivam Narottamam Devi Saraswati Vyasam Tato Tata Udirayat Nascha payesu bhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata uttama sloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. Hare Krishna. So, I'd like to greet everyone. I hope everybody's doing well. So, as Chamashika Mataji told all of us, this is the beginning of a series of lectures found in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, and this is 11th canto beginning with chapter 2 and going on to the next few chapters. It's about the 9 Yogendras or Nava Yogendras. They visited Maharaj Nimi. And Maharaj Nimi is a very popular and very devoted King Rajarshi, and this topic, it's about Bhagavad Dharma in general, but there are 9 specific questions that were asked by Maharaj Nimi. The Yogendras are 9, so Maharaj Nimi deliberately asked 9 questions so that each one of them can take one question and answer it. Anyway, this story is being related by Narada Muni to Vasudev. So let's start a little bit about how it all began. So it began with Narada Muni visiting Dwarka when Krishna was there. And he went, among other things that he did, he went to the home of Vasudev. Vasudev, like the husband of Devaki, when that Krishna came to the world through. So, that was when they were in Mathura. So, now they're in Dwarka, and Narada Muni visited Dwarka, went to Krishna's house, spent some time there in some of the mansions, and then he went to Vasudev's palace. So, Vasudev worshipped him nicely according to the proper etiquette, and then, after greeting him respectfully, he requested to hear about pure devotional service. And pure devotional service is known to free anyone and everyone from all kinds of fear. So then, Narada Muni was very happy that Vasudev asked that question because it meant he would have an opportunity to talk about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and sometimes Krishna's devotees. Now, Narada Muni already knew that this topic had been spoken about earlier, much earlier, and recorded. So he knew about the conversation between the nine Yogendras, Navayogendras, and Maharaj Nimi. And it was also about Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service. So he decided to tell Vasudev that particular conversation. And that's what's recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam. A little bit about the Navayogendras, the lineage of Navayogendras, how they came to be, or how they got to this particular planet, the Earth. So it starts with the first Manu, Swayambhuva Manu. His son was Priyavrat, and Priyavrat's son was Agnidra, and Agnidra was the one who had Maharaj Nabi. And through Maharaj Nabi, the plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhadev, was born as the son of Lord, of Maharaj Nabi. So the nine Yogendras are nine of the 100 sons of Maharaj Rishabhadev. They were all quite famous. They did different things. The very first son is Bhad Maharaj, and of course we've talked about Bhad Maharaj earlier because he had three lifetimes, one as Bhad Maharaj, another one as spending time in the body of a deer, and then the third lifetime was Jat Bharat. We've gone through conversations between Jat Bharat and Maharaj Rahugan. So the other brothers of Bhad Maharaj, the nine Yogendras, they were also very fixed up. And fixed up in knowledge of the self, in spiritual knowledge, and they lived their life like that. They were moving around. They did not get into Grihastha ashram, and the nine of them were just traveling everywhere as they wished. They were direct associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Madhusudan, and they wandered through different planets. And they could go to the spiritual world, they could come to the material world, and they were giving instructions to improve the spiritual lives of everyone that they met. So in this, let's just say today, we'll start with Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Texts 20 and 21. 11, 2, 20 and 21, and I'm begging your permission and the permission of the Parampara, including my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, his spiritual master, Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada, to use me to preach as they would like the preaching to occur, the way that they want you to know. So, Srimad Bhagavatam 11 to 20 to 21. Navabahan Mahavaga Munayu Hyata Samsina Shamana Bhatarasana Atma Vidya Visarada Havi Kavi Antariksha Prabhuda Pipalayana Abil Hotu Tajumilas Chamasa Karabhajana. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The nine remaining sons of Rishabha were greatly fortunate sages who worked vigorously to spread the knowledge of the absolute truth. They wandered about naked and were very well versed in spiritual science. Their names were Kavi, Habi, Antariksha, Prabhuda, Pipalaya, Abhirhotra, Drumila, Chamas, and Karabhajana. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Nimi, the king of Videha, asked the following nine questions of the nine Yogendras, the saintly sons of Rishabha. What is the highest good? That's question one. What is the highest good? Question two. What are the religious principles, dharma, the natural proclivities, swabhav, behavior, achar, speech, vakya, and outward symptoms, lakshana. What are these of a Bhagavata, a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord? Question 3. What is the external energy of Vishnu, the Supreme Lord? Question 4. How can one become dissociated from this Maya? Question 5. What is the true identity of Brahman? Question 6. What are the three types of karma, namely karma based on the enjoyment of the fruits of work, karma offered to the Supreme Lord, and Naishkarma, so Naishkanya, as we say. Question 7. What are the various pastimes of the various incarnations of God? Question 8. What is the aim or destination of one who is against the Supreme Lord and devoid of bhakti? In other words, a non-devotee. And question number 9. What are the respective colors, forms, and names of the four Yuga avatars, the four incarnations of the Supreme Lord who appear in the four ages? And what is the process of worshipping each of them? The transcendental answers to these inquiries were given by the great devotees Kavi, Habis, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayan, Abhidhota, Dumila, Chamas, and Karavajana. These 9 Paramhamsas answered the 9 questions, each in turn, and the verses are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam for all of them. Oma Gina Timilandasya Gyana Gina Shalakaya Chakshun Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Toyam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaha Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabudutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Kruna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasundhibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadarha Shivashari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinyamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacharya Sacharini Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prima Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Chise Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Vimyabhyaya Divya Chavishundaraya Tasmi Maha Prima Rasa Padaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Jai Hare Krishna. So the translation for Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11 Chapter 2 Text 20-21 is: the 9 remaining sons of Vrishabha were greatly fortunate sages who worked vigorously to spread the knowledge of the Absolute Truth. They wandered about naked and were very well versed in spiritual science. Their names were Kavi, Havis, Antariksha, Kabuda, Pipalayan, Abhihotra, Jumila, Chamasa, and Karabajana. Hare Krishna. So, this is about the great sages who were the sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's incarnation, Maharaja Shabadev. Now, we know that the topic is the conversation between Maharaj Nimi, the king of Videha, and Maharaj Rishabhadev's sons, the nine Yogindras. So what really happened was that, as it's been told in this text, the nine sages, Navi Yogindras, were wandering and in the different areas, in the material world and the spiritual world, especially the material world, that they were preaching spiritual science. So Maharaj Nimi had a great sacrifice and planned, and as it was being conducted, then the Navi Yogindras arrived. So they met Maharaj Nimi and other sages and Brahmins who were the ones that were chanting the hymns for the shlokas for the sacrifice. So Maharaj Nimi was extremely happy to see them, and so he offered them respect. In fact, the Brahmins who were doing the sacrifice also stopped and stood up and paid their respects to the Navi Yogindras. So then Maharaj Nimi seated them very nicely, and Maharaj Nimi, in his enthusiasm, wanting to know more about devotional service, more about Bhagavad Dharma from the nine Yogindras, decided to ask questions of them right away. And those are the questions that we said in the purport. Now, we'll take the questions one by one, and by your own permission and the guidance from the Parampara, we will look at how each one of the Navi Yogindras handled each question, and that is going to be the series. So the first question is, what is the highest good? Now, that's explained more in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 30. And so I'm going to read that also, and then we'll go into the questions. So 11:230. Ata antyatikam chemam vichamo bhavato naga samsarismin shanadopi satsanga dev sevadir ninam. Translation. O completely sinless ones. So this is Maharaj Nimi speaking. O completely sinless ones, I ask you to kindly tell me what the supreme good is. After all, even half a moment's association with pure devotees within this world of birth and death is a priceless treasure for any man. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The word sevadhi, or a great treasure, is significant in this verse. Just as an ordinary man is overjoyed to discover an unexpected treasure, one who is actually intelligent is overjoyed to gain the association of a pure devotee of the Lord, by which one's life can easily be perfected. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the words atyantikam shemam, or the supreme good, indicate that situation in which one cannot be touched even by the slightest fear. Now we are entangled in the cycle of birth, old age, disease, and death, samsara. Because our entire situation can be devastated in a single moment, we are constantly in fear. But the pure devotees of the Lord can teach us the practical way to free ourselves from material existence, and thus to abolish all types of fear. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, normal etiquette would dictate that a host immediately ask a guest who has arrived about his well-being. But such an inquiry is unsuitable to place before the self-satisfied devotees of the Lord, who are themselves the bestowers of all well-being. According to Srila Vishwanath, the king knew that it would be useless to ask the sages about their business affairs, since the only business of the pure devotees of the Lord is the achievement of the supreme goal of life. According to Bhagavad Gita, the goal of life is to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death and reinstate oneself as an eternal servant of God on the platform of spiritual bliss. Pure devotees of the Lord do not waste their time with ordinary mundane affairs. Sometimes foolish relatives of a Vaishnava preacher lament that such a transcendental preacher has not used his life for material business and that so much money has therefore been lost by the practice of spiritual life. Such ignorant persons cannot imagine the unlimited prosperity available on the spiritual platform to those who have surrendered heart and soul to the mission of the Lord. King Nimi himself was a learned Vaishnava, and therefore he did not foolishly ask the sages about ordinary worldly affairs. He immediately inquired about Adhyantikam Kshemam, the highest, most perfect goal of life. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the word Anaga, O sinless ones, has two meanings. Anagha, one, indicates that the nine Yogendras were themselves completely free of sins. It also indicates that merely by the great fortune of seeing them and hearing from them submissively, an ordinary sinful man could also be freed of his sins and achieve everything he desired. One might object that since the great sages have just arrived, the king should not have been so impatient as to inquire from them about the perfection of life. Perhaps the king should have waited until the sages themselves invited this inquiry. Such a hypothetical objection is answered by the words Sharanado P. Even a single moment's association with pure devotees, or even half a moment's association, is sufficient to give one the perfection of life. An ordinary person who is offered a great treasure will immediately desire to claim such a treasure. Similarly, King Nimi was thinking, why should I consider myself fortunate enough to have great sages stay here for a long time? Because I'm an ordinary person, undoubtedly you will soon be leaving. Therefore, let me take advantage of your holy association. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in this world there are different varieties of mercy, but ordinary mercy cannot bring about the cessation of all unhappiness. In other words, there are many humanitarians, altruists, and social reformers who certainly work for the betterment of humanity. Such persons are universally considered merciful. But in spite of their mercy, humanity continues to suffer in the grip of birth, old age, disease, and death. I may distribute free food to the needy, but even after eating my merciful gift, the recipient will again become hungry, or he will suffer in some other way. In other words, mere humanitarianism or altruism, by mere humanitarianism or altruism, people do not actually become free from unhappiness. Their unhappiness is merely postponed or altered. King Nimi was joyful upon seeing the Navayugendras because he knew that they were eternally perfect associates of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he thought, you are not prone to sinful activities like unfortunate mundane people such as me. Thus, the words you speak carry no deception or exploitation. The materially conditioned souls spend their days and nights discussing various topics of sense gratification. they never find time to hear about transcendental knowledge. But even if even only briefly or accidentally they hear Harikatha, topics of Krishna, in the association of pure devotees of the Lord, their propensity to suffer in material existence will slacken. When one sees liberated persons, hears about Krishna from them, remembers their saintly behavior and so on, one's tendency to bind himself in the illusion of sense gratification is diminished, and he becomes eager to serve the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, this first question that was asked by Maharaj Nimi was about the highest good. That alone shows the mentality of Maharaj Nimi. A Rajarishi like Maharaj Nimi, and for that matter all Rajarishis, they always desire the best thing for the citizens, the Praja, the people of the earth in this case. So, knowing two things, Maharaj Nimi, one, knowing that the Navayugendras were extremely well versed in spiritual science, and two, that they were pure devotees, that a single moment's association with them is very spiritually purifying and beneficial to anyone who gets that opportunity. He took advantage of it and in fact prioritized the conversation over the sacrifice and decided to ask questions immediately for the good of everybody. Because the sacrifice itself was also for the good of everybody, but the katha was very, very, very important for Maharaj Nimi. He wanted to hear that, and he knew that this would be beneficial for all listening at the time and those who would hear later on, like we are listening also. So he asked that question, what is the highest good? Now, later on, we'll see the first of the answers given by the very first one whose name was mentioned, Sri Kavi. So he's the one that's going to answer the question. But Srila Prabhupada goes into so much detail in the purport of just that question only. So depending on how things go, after Srila Prabhupada's discussion, we'll see if we'll get to the answer for this one. The answers are in about four different texts that follow. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying, Maharaj Nimi has asked to kindly tell him what the supreme good for everyone is. Now, he also has added that half a moment's association with pure devotees can bring very priceless treasure for any man. So Srila Prabhupada says, anyone, any ordinary man, when they get an unexpected treasure, all of a sudden they discover it, they are overjoyed, they're very happy. And so what to speak of the treasure that is a spiritual type. So one who is actually intelligent is overjoyed to gain the association of a pure devotee of the Lord, because it is through the association that one's life can be easily perfected. So the other thing is that when one understands the supreme good for all, then that person cannot be touched by even the slightest fear. So this is the advantage of understanding the supreme good, which Sri Kavi is going to explain. Now, Srila Prabhupada is saying, we have all kinds of fear, especially anxiety. Anxiety and fear are very closely related. We are now entangled in the cycle of birth, old age, disease, and death. And because of that, and because we know that our situation can be changed negatively in a single moment, we're constantly in fear. Like those of us who drive around, and that's the majority of people. whenever you're in a car, yes, the purpose is to go from one place to another. But you're in traffic at all times. And the car itself should be in some kind of shape, which is supposed to be in good shape. And that you can never totally count on. And so there's a danger of the car itself breaking down, or the danger of something happening due to the traffic that can be serious or even fatal. So just moving around alone, we are in constant fear. At the back of our minds, we have to be careful. We may not call it fear, but we know we have to be careful. Well, if there's reason to be careful about what you're doing, there is some measure of fear that's there. Whether we admit it or not, there's some measure of fear that's there. Now, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, the pure devotees of the Lord can teach us a practical way to free ourselves from material existence, and therefore abolish all types of fear. Very important statement. The pure devotees of the Lord can teach us a practical way to free ourselves from material existence and thus abolish all types of fear. So how does that play into this? As we just talked about, because anything can happen in a single moment, we are constantly accepting some level of fear, which we have to be cautious. But Srila Prabhupada is saying the pure devotees of our Lord can teach us a practical way to free ourselves and abolish all types of fear. So the important thing is the pure devotees of our Lord do not play into material life. Even if they're using material bodies at the time, they know that they're not the bodies, and Srila Prabhupada said that many times, that devastation that can happen in a single moment can only happen to the physical body. The soul doesn't go through any devastation at any time. And the soul is the real person. And so, yes, devastation can happen at any time. Life can change at any moment. But it is material life that can change at any moment. The soul, for a person who is a pure devotee, is already connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any tinge of material disturbance. And so if the physical body is going on, it's still functioning because the soul is inside the physical body, like the way we are now, then the pure devotee is only 10% concerned with the business of Krishna consciousness. When the physical body is no longer functioning, the pure devotee's soul is released and there's nothing to stop. In other words, life doesn't stop because of the soul comes out of the body. The soul is in its natural constitutional position at that time when the body is not being used. And the natural constitutional position is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead the same way, or the same consciousness that the pure devotee was using when he had a physical body, still serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to the pure devotee, it doesn't matter whether they are in the physical body or not in the physical body, the business is still the same. So what is there to fear then? So that is the point Srila Prabhupada is making. The pure devotees of our Lord teach us a practical way to free ourselves from material existence because they don't connect with the material existence as the all in all. It is temporary, and anything happening to the physical body means that the soul gets released, and by the transcendental system, if because of service that has to be done, the decision is made to put that pure devotee in another physical body and put somewhere else for some other service, so be it. And if the transcendental system decides that that pure devotee is going to go on this time with the spiritual body alone, so be it. It doesn't change anything that the pure devotee does. It's all bhakti yoga. That is the program. And so there's nothing to fear. Now, another point about this meeting of Maharaj Nimi and the Navi Yogendras is discussed by Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. And he is saying about the meeting itself that when someone meets another person, the normal etiquette especially when someone has come to visit, how are you? Do they inquire about the person's well-being? But Srila Prabhupada is saying that Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that inquiry was not suitable before self-satisfied devotees of the Lord, who are themselves bestower of well-being. So the Navayugendra's arrival to Maharaj Nimi, they were themselves the bestower of well-being. So the bestower of well-being does not need to be asked how they themselves are doing. And that's the point that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is making. And of course, he also says that the king knew that it wouldn't be necessary to ask about the business affairs of the sages, the Navayugendras, because everyone knew the business affairs of them, which is the only business, which is to achieve the supreme goal of life. And they were preaching how to do that. That was the only business. Srila Prabhupada adds on that the goal of life is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita, to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death and reinstate oneself as an eternal servant of God. That is the important business for everybody. And that is why the pure devotees come to different planets, as Srila Prabhupada came to this earth, to teach us, to free us from ignorance. Ignorance is connection of everything to the physical and subtle. So to get out of the ignorance is to understand that life is about freeing oneself from this arena, which is Krishna's cosmic jail, the birth and death situation which keeps people in this material world, and to get back to the eternal constitution servant as eternal constitution position as a servant of a servant of a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that pure devotees of the Lord, they don't waste their time in ordinary mundane affairs. And some of these things that Srila Prabhupada is talking about has happened in some of our lives, and myself included. Sometimes some of our relatives, they say, oh, this person has spent so much time for transcendental affairs or affairs concerning spiritual life at the expense of material life, and he could have led a much better life, made so much money, and all of that time that could have been put in to do that has now been used in spiritual life instead. So Srila Prabhupada says such people are ignorant. Even if they are relatives, they are ignorant. They cannot imagine the unlimited prosperity that's available on the spiritual platform for those who have surrendered their heart and soul to the Lord's mission. So, what do we do? For such persons, if they are relatives, the first thing is, one, since we know they're not really approving of the way we're living our lives, we still can give mercy to them, because we look at them from the point of view of the fact that their own souls need to be saved too, because they're thinking that living a material life, sometimes a little religious life added to it, but nothing transcendental, they think that is the best way to live, because after all we're in the material world. They don't realize the material world is a place to live life in such a way that we get back to our constitutional position. And so they're blaming us. Even as impure as we are, I know I am, I'm not a pure devotee. Still, we need to give them mercy. When a person is ignorant, you don't get upset with them because they are ignorant. Just like when a person is sick, you don't get upset with them that they're sick. That's the condition that they're in. So the condition is what we need to have foremost in our mind. This person is my relative. He or she is thinking that living material life is more important. They don't realize what the soul is, the soul, the science of the soul, and I have been fortunate enough to be taught some of this. Therefore, let me do what I can, if not directly, to help them to come into the understanding that spiritual science is more important. If not directly, at least indirectly, I should do that. And by that we mean, if a relative won't hear, we can give them Krishna Prasadam so that in the next life it will do its work. If not in this particular life, we are not too stubborn to listen to anything Krishna conscious, then at least the next life, since Prasadam is Krishna, they would get the mercy of beginning. Krishna would arrange, the transcendental system arranges for them to meet devotees and start their spiritual life. So that way we've given them the mercy of the Lord. We have been very selfless to help somebody who would have tried to stop us from involving in spiritual science. We have instead helped them, now whether they know it or not, to move on now from away from their thinking materially, at least in the next life, to thinking spiritually and living a spiritual life. The next point about King Nimi, he inquired not about worldly affairs. Now anybody can easily do that, that knows that the sages were traveling around. When somebody travels around and then they come to visit, you might be curious to ask about what their travels involve. Maharaj Nimi did not do that. He immediately focused on the spiritual benefit of their visit. So he inquired immediately about Atyantikam Shema, the highest and most perfection, most perfect goal of life. And the way in which King Nimi addressed the nine Yugendras, he said, "O sinless ones." And the word sinless, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has looked at it as possible two meaning type of word. Sinless has two meanings. One, that the Navayugendras themselves were completely free of sins. That would be one way of addressing them, sinless. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also indicates that sinless can mean sinless for the person that hears or is in the presence or association of these nine Yugendras. The person that gets in the association can also be made sinless, because the presence of them, of the nine Yugendras, and for that matter pure devotees, can free the sinful person from their sins just by hearing from the pure devotees submissively. And this is definitely said in the Bhagavad Gita, that we need to approach the spiritual master and to inquire from the spiritual master submissively and then render service to them. And that way we can be guided spiritually, and from the guidance then sin would be completely erased, if not almost totally erased, then for the most part erased from our lives. So an ordinary sinful man can be freed from his sins by being around or having the association of a pure devotee. So that's one way sinlessness can be explained. And the other way was that the Navayugendras themselves were sinless. They were completely free of sins. So what King Nimi did was extremely, extremely important for all of us. We all have great advantage from what he did, because he went straight into answering questions. And the great thing is that he counted them. There are nine of them. He asked nine very important questions. The first one being, what is the highest good for everybody? So take advantage. We all should take advantage of the presence of a pure devotee whenever he's around. We are fortunate now to know one who is Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. His chanting and his lectures are very, very purifying, and we should take advantage of that at all times. All times. We should hear his words directly from him, or hear his words from his disciples who also preach, based on the major spiritual points that Srila Prabhupada himself makes. And this, we may know about it, but it definitely, definitely warrants repeating over and over again, so that we will flood our minds not with things that Maya tries to put in, but flood our minds with the fact that we're very fortunate at this time to have His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who not only has brought transcendental knowledge to the whole world, distributed it, But even looked at the unfortunate situation that we're in Kali Yuga, and made concessions so that Krishna will still give us the mercy after we leave this body. So many concessions have been made. The rounds for a devoted Vaishnava is supposed to be 64 rounds. He has brought it down to only one quarter of it as minimum, 16 rounds. He has allowed women more opportunity in spiritual life than normally is given to them. And so now the gender of a person, that physical body, gender, male or female, doesn't matter. One person can, in fact, with their own effort and determination and help from association with devotees, they can, in fact, make it back to the spiritual world, earn the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Formally, if you're in a female body, then your going back to the spiritual world depends on how fixed up your husband is, which means you have to get married. And if you didn't get married, then you're not going. Then you have to get married. And then second point is that you have to help your husband be a good devotee enough to earn the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be allowed back in the spiritual world. Then the woman would be allowed back in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada has changed all of that. So any soul in the female body or male body can, on their own effort and association with devotees, make it back to the spiritual world. So many, we can't just go on so many concessions that Srila Prabhupada has sought the permission of Krishna to give us so that we can go on with this life and be successful spiritually. So we need to take advantage of it. Even the demigods, some of them are trying to be born here in devotee families to take advantage of so much slack, literally, so much concession that's been asked for by Srila Prabhupada so people can go back to the spiritual world. Now, to come back to Maharaj Nimi, Maharaj Nimi expressed humility here. In his thoughts, he was literally strategic based on his own humility. His strategy was, as Srila Prabhupada explains here, why should I consider myself fortunate enough to have the great stages here stay for a long time? So the point he's making is, the stages have come. I'm just an ordinary citizen, an ordinary person. This is my Ajnimi thinking that way. And so the sages can be here, and the next moment they may ask to leave. And if they ask to leave, then I didn't take as much advantage of them as I could have at the time, and therefore at the time they were there. They can leave at any time. And if they decide to leave, Maharaj Nimi can't stop them. Nobody can stop them. And you know they travel around, so there's no telling when they would leave. So because of that, Maharaj Nimi said, let me immediately take advantage of the association. That's why the sacrifice now didn't become as important when these Navayugendras came. And that's why Maharaj Nimi did not inquire about their affairs, worldly affairs, because he knew what the program of the Navayugendras were. And that's why he went immediately into asking those questions. So no matter what happens, whether the sages leave early or they leave late, the questions have been put to them, and he knew, Maharaj Nimi knew, that at least they would answer the questions before they leave. And if they leave with the questions answered, then everybody benefits from it. So this was the smart strategy that Maharaj Nimi took, to ask the questions right away. So Srila Prabhupada also talks about mercy. And he explains that in this material world, there are different varieties of mercy. As a matter of fact, he's saying that this is according to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master. Spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that his Guru Maharaj is saying there are ordinary mercy and then there's transcendental mercy. So ordinary mercy are the ones that are given based on compassion from humanitarians. And sometimes altruists. Altruists are those who are devoted to the welfare of everybody, and they take that welfare as the most important in their lives, neglecting even what's important for themselves. In other words, that they wish everybody well, and they put everybody's business before them. So this is moral goodness, and it's actually true, and it is good, and they are humanitarians and altruists and social reformers. Those who try to make life better socially, materially for people. They work for the betterment of society, of humanity. So you can say that's one form of mercy. And they tend to be quite popular. The whole world gets to know about them. But see, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying, in spite of this mercy, humanity continues to suffer in the grip of birth, old age, disease, and death. So that kind of mercy does not go much deeper. It is very superficial in terms of its benefit. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj is saying, if, for example, I distribute free food to the needy, yes, they will eat. Yes, they will be appreciative. Yes, they might even praise me. But what happens after that? The person who ate will become hungry again. Or they will suffer in some other way. And to add to it, not only would they become hungry again, but when they leave their body at the end of that particular lifetime, they're not going back to the spiritual world. So the suffering in the material world will continue. So that kind of mercy may seem to be very helpful, but it's actually quite shallow because it's only at the material level. So he's saying mere humanitarianism or altruism, people don't become free from unhappiness. Their unhappiness is either postponed or altered. And in that idea of postponement or alteration, Srila Prabhupada has already explained that a person who is on this earth or in the material world has a certain percentage of happiness and a certain percentage of distress already arranged for them for that particular lifetime. And Srila Prabhupada is saying you can't change that. Therefore, when a person receives that kind of help from a humanitarian, material help, it may seem to be a merciful gift, but all it does is that the transcendental system adjusts the person's happiness and distress so that at the end of their lives they have in fact gone through the same percentage of happiness and the same percentage of distress that was imposed on them at the beginning of their life. In simple words, means if you get some sort of help and it's material help, then it doesn't mean that your happiness has increased. The transcendental system will adjust the happiness and distress that if you're supposed to get 50% happiness and 50% distress, at the end of your life, it will be 50-50 if that's what was given to you in the beginning. So every time there's material happiness given to a particular soul, that other happiness will be taken away or the distress will be adjusted so that the total percentage of both sides, happiness and distress, does not change. So basically, on the whole, the person gains nothing. Even though it may seem that at the time they've gotten some merciful gifts, on the whole, they gain nothing. So the only thing that really matters is, and that is not part of the equation for this whole material happiness and material distress, is when we give spiritual gifts. That's why spiritual gifts in the form of either praise, the form of either preaching, not praise, but preaching, or even Krishna Prasadam, which is indirectly given to a non-devotee. The non-devotee just thinks he just got food. But Krishna Prasadam, that adds to and that changes the person's program in that person now will start with Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness does not depend on karma. Karma is the underlying thing that imposes a certain amount of happiness and a certain amount of distress. That's based on karma, the person's reaction in the lifetimes before. So giving spiritually is extremely important for all of us. So with that understanding, we need to show mercy every time through either preaching, through Harinam, when you call in the name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the highest good that we can do. We should be spiritual altruists, spiritual humanitarians, not material humanitarians or material altruists. Altruists, again, meaning that those who are devoted to the welfare of others, and they put the welfare of others before their own welfare. But we should do that from the spiritual standpoint, not from the material standpoint. So it's extremely important to give, and the more we give spiritually to others, the more Krishna is pleased with us. The more we give spiritually, the more we get. We get because Krishna would give us even more opportunity to be more giving, and spiritual, and in our own spiritual lives, Krishna would make us stronger devotees by giving the mercy and helping us where we're weak. So there's advantage in all of this when we serve devotees and non-devotees alike. So the highest good, as Maharaj Nimi has asked, will be asked by, or will be dealt with by Sri Kavi, one of the nine Nirgandhas, will be dealt by that. And it is, just to say a little bit about it, is it is about the importance of devotional service. But it would be taken in nice, wonderful detail from different angles by Sri Kavi, the sage Kavi, in the text to come. And so it is exciting that the purpose of spiritual life has been put so nicely in the question, the highest good, by King Nimi. And now we will get the opportunity of hearing the response from one of the Navayugendras in the weeks to come. So we'll stop here. And just a little recap. So the nine Yugendras, they are the sons of Maharaj Vrishabhadev, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Nimi is the king of Videha, and the nine Yugendras are 10% devoted to spiritual instruction wherever they go to elevate people's lives. Especially in the material world, they roam around and they go different places, and they came to visit Maharaj Nimi, who was smart enough to look on the situation that he was facing. After he received them nicely, he said, "They are traveling, they can leave at any time. Let me ask the questions that are important while they're here." So he immediately starts asking nine questions, and the first one being, what is the highest good? And that gives them the opportunity to have to answer all the questions and therefore stay where they were. The Navayugendras had to stay where they were to finish answering those questions. And so that's what we will be privy, be fortunate enough to hear, those answers to the questions in the weeks to come. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Shyamasika Mataji, if you can have devotees unmute their phone and answer, have comments or ask questions also. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very nice explanations you gave about the person who does not have faith, does not partake prasadam, and end of the life, listen to Prabhupada's Harinam chanting. You explain that what kind of in next life, what going to get he in the next life will be the devotee's life, the devotee's family, or he goes to the material world, like a cycle of birth and death. Can you explain it to me, please?
Depending on what, can you just say the beginning of the question again? I know, I understand the question you asked, but at the beginning I wasn't clear on what you were getting at.
So eating prasadam.
Yes.
But does not have a faith. What we doing, why we are doing, but eating prasadam every day and doing all the sinful activities, plus eating prasadam and giving charity and other things to temple. So it will be again material life, and then again he will do the, Krishna will give her, him mercy. Can you explain to that?
All right, I understand now. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, you're talking about a person that, this is called mixed devotion. There is devotion that is important, that a person is involved in, but there's also material life, including some life that's sinful, that the person, the same person is involved in. So what happens to a person like that? Hopefully this is what you're getting at. We need to understand that spiritual life, the Lord Chaitanya has set it up in such a way that there is improvement. One person involved in life where they can take prasadam, they do something spiritual, but they do other things material, including sinful life, is obviously a person who is not purified. So the question of purification becomes important. A lot depends on what a person gets in terms of his, not gets, but a person thinks about, the person's own consciousness. The key to this is how serious the person wants to be. Yes, we're not pure, and even I can put myself in that situation, we're not pure. We do some transcendental activities by the instruction of a spiritual master. That's there, the chanting, the hearing, sometimes. It's regular, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we slack, sometimes we take things seriously, so we're going back and forth, sometimes. Now, when the person's mindset is that of being serious about Krishna consciousness, we're not talking about activity, we're talking about mindset now. When the person's mindset is, I want to be a person or a soul who has improved their spiritual life, I will want to be a better devotee, just that thinking alone puts the person in the mindset of improving what their spiritual life is over what the material life is. That's the first thing. So it starts with the mind. The mind has to be controlled. But initially, even before we attempt to get help to control the mind, if we say, I want to be a better devotee, or someone, as our Guru Maharaj likes to put it, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj likes to put it, someone is going to be liberated at the end of this lifetime. Why not me? In other words, liberation is there for everybody. Elevation into a higher consciousness is there for everybody. The arrival back in the spiritual world and going back to one's constitutional position, serving the Supreme Personality of Lord, of Godhead in pure love, is also available for everybody. So I can also take advantage of it. So that kind of mindset will then cause the person to take the spiritual aspect of life more seriously and understand how unfortunate they are to be more sinful, pray for help, and be determined to stick around devotees who are fixed up so that they can influence that person's life to improve on the spiritual side of it and also remove the sins. See, who you associate with does a lot in terms of how the person would improve in their spiritual life. Now, the other part of it is, if the person is not serious, or the worst part, the person is kind of giving up and saying, well, this is too hard for me, I can't do it, which means they like sense gratification much more, and they don't want to give up on sense gratification. Then again, as Lord Chaitanya has put it, spiritual life is, you're either going up or you're going down. So in that situation, that person would go down. If that person is not associating with devotees who would remind them of the importance of the spiritual duties, then that person will go down. This is why, go down spiritually, that is, or even be at risk of falling down. This is why All preachers, all the Swamis who preach to us tell us that devotional service involves devotee association. Devotee association always makes it possible for us to stay the course. So if we cut off devotee association, that person would go down. And when the person goes down, then there is not a chance of that person going to the spiritual world at the end of that lifetime, and that person will be put back in the material world again to work on whatever their weaknesses are spiritually and whatever their desires are, attachments are materially. Arrangement would be made again to challenge us to drop the material and to take the spiritual life seriously. So in conclusion, a lot depends on the devotee's mindset. They will get an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world if they are more determined to take spiritual life seriously, and they will hardly get any opportunity to go to the spiritual world. There's not much of a chance at the end of this life if they don't take spiritual life seriously. But actually, many people are. Everybody listening now has decided to get up that type of day, you know, morning, and hear Harikatha, which is important, and that definitely puts us on the path back to the spiritual world and not the material world. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Any other questions or comments?
Prabhuji, I had a quick question.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
And it may be Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for a wonderful class.
Well, Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy.
Mm-hmm. Prabhuji, my question is, how does one know that when they are experiencing unpleasant things in their life, everyone does,
mm-hmm.
We are conditioned souls. How do we understand for a devotee that a distress is it's something Krishna is pointing us to cleanse within ourselves, or is it a reaction of our past or present karma? Is there a way that we can distinguish between the two?
Okay, very important question. So the question is, when something is happening that is challenging, how do we basically look at that? And you already explained both polarities about it, so I don't need to go over it again. When a person becomes a devotee, first, we need to understand, Srila Prabhupada said this, and Radha Maharaj also said the same thing in a different way. That is, a devotee life is not a karmic life. It's not based on karma anymore. Non-devotees are still on the karma. Mm-hmm. So they may look at it as reactions or things that they've done in the past. That's a non-devotee situation. Okay? They may learn some lessons from it, they may not learn some lessons from it, but that is based on karma. When a person becomes a devotee, they open their hearts out to bhakti yoga. Now, Yamaraj has nothing to do with their bank account. Spiritual bank account is with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna takes care of it personally. And then Radha Maharaj explained that Krishna, in the form of the Lord in the heart, the Paramatma, is the one that takes account of everything that's going on in a devotee life. So once a devotee has switched faith to Krishna consciousness and now is practicing even sadhana bhakti, which means bhakti based on the instructions of a spiritual master, do this, do that, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do this other thing, and so on, then what happens, even the challenging things that happen in a person's life, is meant to teach lessons so that the devotee would grow in Krishna consciousness. That is the program for distress, if you would put it that way. Distress in a devotee's life. It's not based on karma at that point, because the Lord in the heart does not deal with accounts based on karma. Yamaraj deals with accounts based on karma. And so a devotee at that point would go through some unpleasant material situations, some pleasant material situations that will happen, but it's all designed so that one, we would be grateful for the so-called pleasant material situations that happen, and if our material life improves, then our consciousness will be, this is the way Krishna is looking at us, whether we're going to use our improvement in serving devotees, in serving Guru, and in serving Krishna. That's what is supposed to be done with the devotee. That's materially okay. I know you didn't ask about that part. You asked more about the challenges. So on the challenge part, there are lessons that are meant to cause the devotee to grow. If we take a simple example, like a student. Every time a student is studying some particular subject, there's a time when the student's going to be tested. Tests are not funny. Tests are not pleasant. Tests are challenging. Preparation for tests is challenging. The test itself is challenging. But after the test, everybody that's been a student realizes, now I know some things, and I also know the extent to which I understand it, because the exam has showed me the extent to which I understand it. If I need to work on it some more, I know. If I've mastered it, I know. So this is what is termed distress in a devotee's life. The lessons to move the devotee forward in spiritual growth. That's all that happens. And so we ourselves as devotees have to have that understanding that when distress comes, that is Krishna's merciful arrangement for us to learn lessons in order to grow. Sometimes it's also a situation where we haven't learned a lesson, it's happened, and then Krishna rearranges the details of it so that we'll learn, get opportunity to learn the lesson again. That also happens. It's unfortunate, but it's still the mercy of the Lord, because it's unfortunate for the devotee that didn't learn the lesson the first time, but it's still the mercy of the Lord in that the Lord has invited the same opportunity for that devotee to learn the lessons. But negativity is, so-called negativity, is really lessons that a devotee is supposed to learn in order to grow spiritually. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any other questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Shyama Sikha Mataji, you know you can jump in at any time. But in the meantime, any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this lecture in class about Tamil and even the image to Nava Yogendra. For the first question, it was so wonderful you explained. So thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Guru's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I can't take the credit, but it's their mercy. Hare Krishna.
If no one have any question or comment, we can end up the call here.
Hare Krishna, Vaishnava Thakur ki jai.